Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/ghost. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off. blueapron.com/ghost. We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. When I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month, with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels, with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed, and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number, at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to us if you want to record it on your smart device. That's an easy thing to do. Just do that, and then send the file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am. I'm doing lovely.
Good.
I'm doing lovely. Had an interesting interview earlier today for the Grave Talks, and that'll be coming out. I think this is probably going to land closer to the end of May. Mm-hmm. About a place called the Allen House. If you're familiar at all, I think it was on one of the ghost hunting shows at some point in time. I don't know when.
Okay.
But and that narrows it down because there's like 500 of them now.
Right.
If you Google it, it's a real interesting story. And that'll be on the other podcast, The Grave Talks. If you're not a subscriber of that yet, be sure to search that and press subscribe on there. You'll enjoy that interview-based program. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You share your real ghost stories with us, and of course we share them here on the show. Be sure to press subscribe on whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. If you're new to the show, welcome. Subscribing, make sure you get everything right there in your inbox as we create it. A bunch of calls to get through today. Let's jump into one of those. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Jen and Tony. This is Darlene calling from Whitehall, PA. I am so excited. I just became an EPP member, so now I don't feel guilty calling in. I'd like your thoughts on something. A while ago, back in the 90s, when my grandson was young, he had fallen and hit his head and was knocked unconscious, and they could not wake him up, you know, right away. So, of course, they called an ambulance. I got a phone call from my daughter-in-law telling me this. My son happened to be here visiting. So we go out to the hospital, to the emergency room, and while we get there, right behind us are his other grandparents. So we all go walking into the emergency room, And there's my little grandson running around like a nut. And he looked at us, and we all walked in together. There were five of us. And he jumped up into my arms and said, "Did you miss me?" Now, he might have been 5 years old. And when he said, "Did you miss me?" my first thought was, "Where did you go?" And I just said, "Well, we were worried." A couple months later, I had him for the weekend. And we're looking through a photo album of my childhood. And my dad was in the Army. He saw his Army picture. And I'm flipping through. I said, "That's my dad there in the Army." And we're flipping through. And I was saving a picture of my mom and dad for him. It was a really nice picture. So I'm flipping through these. And just as I was ready to show him the picture, he said, "Back up." So he flipped the pages back two times. He goes, "I know that guy." And it was my dad. It was my dad as I knew him. And I said, "No, you don't know him." I said, "That's my dad, and he's in heaven." And he sat there, and he's, for a five-year-old, he was so determined. He says, "I met him somewhere, and I don't remember." As he said that, I got, like, chills, thinking, "Oh, my gosh, did my dad meet you and say, 'Grammy Bender's going to miss you'?" So, okay, I left it go and just always had that thought. A couple months ago, my grandson tells me, through his work, he's a sales rep, that he had met these people, and the lady was a psychic. And they got into this and are talking, and she said, "You have a guardian angel, and he's standing over your right shoulder, and it's a man in a uniform from World War II. My dad fought in World War II. So now I'm really thinking, after all these years, I don't know, am I stretching it a little bit? Do you think my dad actually met him and said, 'Grammy's going to miss you, you need to go back'?" I just thought that was a very strange thing for a 5 or 6 year old to say. Just would like your thoughts on that. I'm tending to believe that it was my dad, and maybe my dad is his guardian angel. Not sure, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. But again, you guys are the experts and would really like to know your opinion. Thank you so much, and I'll be listening. You guys have a good day. Take care.
Expert Jenny, what do you think?
Jenny's not an expert, but I do think that's exactly what's going on.
Sure.
I think that, I mean, we have this conversation quite a bit about people that have had an experience where they've either been knocked unconscious or they're on the verge of possibly dying, but then they come back and somebody told them, "Hey, it's not quite your time yet," but they know that somebody is there waiting for them when it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that far of a stretch. I know to her, it seems like, is this kind of crazy or out there? And really, it's not.
No.
This is, your story is, I'm not trying to denigrate the story, but your story is not unique. It's certainly, you know, an amazing thing that this is happening.
Sure.
But we have heard very, very similar type things many times over. You know, maybe population as a whole, it's unique. But in our show, where we hear stories like this all the time, we hear stories like this all the time.
Right.
So to hopefully that makes you feel a little more comfortable about this, and that it's not that far of a stretch for what you're suspecting to have actually occurred.
I agree.
That's kind of my point.
Yeah.
So thank you for calling that in and sharing that experience with us. Hey, you know, an experience we like to share, Blue Apron. When that box shows up, all sorts of fresh ingredients, easy to prepare recipes right at your front door. It's great. It's a huge time saver as well. You don't have to deal with the grocery store and the lines and all of that. It just shows up, recipes ready to go. And your family's going to love it. It depends on the size of your family as well. They can customize it to whatever you are looking for. Two-person meal plans, family meal plans, however many days a week you want it, they got it for you. They may have a wine plan, so they have pretty much everything you need. It's really delicious ingredients. I can't think of really anything over the years we've gone from there that I haven't enjoyed. They have a team of professional chefs that literally put this stuff together. It's not repeat recipes every other week, anything like that. It's fresh, it's original, it's really, really good stuff. In fact, this month, some of the items that we've put on our to eat list, barbecue pork burgers with pickled pepper coleslaw and roasted potatoes, lemon ginger salmon over carrots, spring peas, and orzo, Shanghai Kung Pao chicken with stir-fried snow peas and sweet peppers, pesto chicken pizza with creamy roasted broccoli. That's just to name a few. You can check out this week's recipes and even get yourself $30 off. Yeah, $30 off. Go to blueapron.com/ghost, blueapron.com/ghost, and check it out. They're offering our listeners a $30 off your first delivery when it comes to dinner. Let Blue Apron take care of the planning and shopping while you do the cooking and eating. You'll enjoy delicious meals like I just talked about, on your table in 30 minutes or less with incredible ingredients and chef-designed recipes. Blue Apron lets you see the power of what food can do. BlueApron.com/ghost. Go there. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. So my name is Cher. And I went to a college that was really, really haunted. You could probably figure out where it is. It's somewhere in the Ozarks, like the southern Missouri area, and it is known as one of the most haunted places in that area, according to a couple of blogs and things. But anyway, lots of really freaky things happened in this dormitory, and it was specifically the fifth floor of this dorm that was supposed to be the most haunted, and that was the floor that I lived on. So this particular incident, it actually takes place right outside of the dorm and then kind of continues into that haunted floor, the fifth floor. But it starts out where I was a freshman in college, so brand new to university life and really excited and all that. Our college threw a lot of carnivals / parties and parades for the freshmen and for just everyone at the beginning and end of the year, just to kind of get people hyped and pumped up about, I don't know, learning, I guess. So carnivals popped up all the time on our campus. That was no big deal. And then they'd get torn down literally just as fast. One particular day that we were having a carnival on our campus, I was walking back to my dorm after class, kind of was not going to go this particular day. And I see a clown walk by my dorm. Well, this isn't really that unusual, except that the clown was like wearing all black and gray and like dark white tones. Like everything he was wearing was black or gray or some sort of in between darkish tone. The face paint that he had on was your normal white clown makeup face paint, except in white. It was also gray. And his nose was black instead of red. And he was holding a handful of black helium balloons. Now, I didn't like think too much about this at the time, just because I'm like, okay, there's a carnival going on. And so this guy just decided to be different and be like a depressed clown. That's kind of funny, kind of unique, cool. But he stopped in front of me, and he didn't say a word to me. He stopped in front of me as I was coming up to the front of my dorm, and he handed me a black balloon, and I took it. I just accepted it. I was like, okay, cool. And then he kept walking on, and I went upstairs to my dorm room. Now, we had a purple balloon from a past carnival that was still kind of hanging out and still had some, you know, helium in it, some life in it. So I shove the black balloon in the corner, hanging out with the purple balloon, and then I sit down and I start getting to work on some homework. Well, as I'm doing my homework, I feel this sense of like someone watching me, and I kind of ignore it at first, put it back, I'm like, whatever, and then finally I turn around because the feeling just gets so strong, and that black balloon that I had picked up from the creepy clown downstairs, it was actually hovering in the middle of my dorm room, levitating at like head length. Like, it wasn't up on the ceiling like normal helium balloon should be. It was like at the level that a person's head would be. And it was just bouncing around in the middle of the room, and there was no fan on, there was no wind, no breeze. And the purple balloon that we got at the carnival like a week beforehand or whatever, that was still hanging out in the corner. It was staying put where we put it. This black balloon had moved out to the middle of the floor and hovered right at like eye level, which creeped me out. So I take the balloon, I put it back in the corner, and then I sit down and do homework again. Okay, I didn't have any more problems after that. It stayed in the corner. Later, both my roommates come home. So I lived with two other girls, and I left, and I don't know, ate lunch. I don't really know where I went, but I was not there. I come back, and they tell me the same story. They're like, so this balloon you got is kind of creeping us out because we keep putting it into the corner, and it keeps, like, hovering back into the middle of the room and being at, like, human eye level. Where did you get this from? And I was like, oh, just, like, some depressed dark clown outside handed me the balloon. And they're like, okay, well, we kind of want to get rid of it. So I'm like, okay, guys, like, chill out. It's a balloon. There's nothing wrong with it. You're freaking out. So we ignore it, right? No big deal. All of us leave, and we go get some dinner together, whatever together. I don't know. We were all friends, all roommates, so we're gone for a while. We come back that night, and the balloon is once again in the middle of the room. It does not stay where it is. But in contrast, the reason why this is so freaky is because the purple balloon from the previous carnival is still in the corner in its same spot. It has not moved at all. It stayed put. It's totally fine. The black one is the only one that seems to just be going around. So we put it back in the corner. All three of us sit down at our respective places in the room to get some homework done at this point. While we're doing our homework, the balloon proceeds to just kind of float around the room toward each one of our stations. And we watch it happen, and we're so fed up at this point, we don't even bother putting it back in the corner. We're just like, this is what this balloon feels like doing, whatever, we're just ignore it. And we go to sleep that night with the balloon in our room. Fortunately, nothing happens like in the middle of the night that we know of. We sleep well, we wake up in the morning, all of us go to our prospective classes. We come back from those classes in the afternoon, and the black balloon is hovering in the middle of the room. But what's freakier is that the purple balloon has now left its spot. Not only has it left its spot, it has deteriorated in a very, very creepy way. It has like tumors kind of popping out of the sides of it. And it's really, really odd. And it's kind of hovering down toward the floor, kind of like how when balloons die over time, they kind of shrink up and they aren't floating anymore and whatever. But the way that this balloon looked, where it just had pieces of balloon jutting out of it, like tumors and parts of it that were wrinkled and sunken in, it looked like it had been beat up. Like, it looked really strange. So the purple balloon, we're like, oh, it like died. It's gone now. Okay. So we get rid of it. But when we get rid of it, we also decide to get rid of the black balloon because it's a little bit too much for us that the purple balloon was just fine. And then the moment we add the black balloon to it that happens to hover at eye level with us, the purple balloon now develops tumors and dies on the floor. So I don't know. What do you guys think about this? Are we just making a huge deal out of nothing, personifying latex, or was the balloon possibly possessed by a demon, or was it handed to me by like some sort of paranormal entity? I don't know what to make of this. And this happened so many years ago. I even called my roommates, which I'm still friends with, to even confirm that that was a true story. And they were like, oh no, yes, that actually happened to us. That you are not making that up. And we still remember that to this day. We think it's a demonically possessed balloon. Like, you can think what you want, but we think it's a demonically possessed balloon that did that. So that's my roommate's opinion. I don't know what to think. I just kind of want to hear your thoughts on it and if you just think it's I don't know. I have no idea. Thanks so much for listening, and I look forward to hearing what you can make of this latex-possessed thing. Thanks so much. Talk to you later. Bye.
I don't know that I'd go as far as saying it's a demonically possessed balloon, but I think something was certainly trying to manipulate it.
I think so, because they're easy to manipulate, so balloons are an easy target for ghosts to do things to.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the black and white ghost, or not ghost clown, but possibly ghost clown that gave her the balloon that was kind of roaming the dorm that shouldn't have even been there?
Oh, there's random clowns everywhere. There's no need to worry about that.
I don't know. That's kind of creepy and weird.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know if it's anything, but there may have been something already there that's manipulating the balloons, especially since you already know that your hall is, or your dorm level is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to Google what school it is. I think I found which school it is, and I'm not going to say, but I will say I found a lot of haunted universities in Missouri.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it just like because of age of how long they've been around, or
I don't know. We have more than our fair share here. So I think I know which one she was talking about.
Is it near us?
It's pretty close.
In our city?
No.
In our surrounding city?
Yeah.
Like within 15 miles?
More like 20.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know what's even around here. It does not narrow it down for me. Okay. Well, there you go. Black balloon. And now, bonus points if you can name the 90s rock band that had a song of that title.
I should know this, but I don't.
Do you remember the song?
I do, but I don't remember who sang it.
Baby's black balloon, blah, 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 blah.
It's not Smashing Pumpkins,
no.
Is it? Counting Crows?
No.
I don't know. You don't know either.
Yeah, coming down the road. Matchbox 20, I believe. Or was it Goo Goo Dolls.
Goo Goo Dolls. That would have been my third guess.
I always get, I don't know why, but I used to get Goo Goo Dolls and Matchbox 20 like cross-confused. But
okay.
It was kind of the same time period.
Yeah.
Similar type sounding. Black Balloon came out after Iris, and it was kind of like the follow. It wasn't really a follow, but it was that same sort of rocky ballad type deal.
Okay.
Remember when Iris was such a big song?
Yeah.
And every
because of that stupid
City of Angels.
Yeah.
And every girl was like, "Oh, it's such an amazing song."
I hated that
song.
Did
you say anything like that when?
No,
we were like 16.
No.
So when it came out, we were about that age.
I know. I thought it was dumb.
Really?
I thought that whole thing was dumb. The whole movie, the song.
I never saw the movie. I just remember the song was like insanely popular.
It was annoying. I hated it.
And everybody was like requesting it left and right. And Johnny Resnick, right? Goo Goo Dolls. And I don't want the world. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Because I don't think that they'd understand.
Thanks. That's in my head now.
Everything's made to be broken. I just want you to know who I am. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Yes. Just wanted to tell a quick story. I just had a touch of your podcast, which is pretty amazing. But my mom passed away 3 years ago, and my son Andrew was 3 months when she passed away. I want to say probably about, he's 3 years old, 3 and a half. Probably about when he, just before he turned three, he started saying, grandma's not happy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because again, he was 3 months old when my mother passed away. My wife's mother, he calls her Bella, which is grandmother in Spanish. So I don't know where he heard the word grandma, but grandma's not happy. Probably around after she passed away, my family was sort of like in a rift because my mother was basically the glue that held the family together. So after she passed away, we kind of split apart. So I was just a little weirded out. I told my wife, apparently Andrew's saying grandma is not happy. She was in his room last night. He just kept saying, not happy, grandma's not happy. So I'm like, maybe it was just a bad dream and stuff like that. A few weeks later, I was going over my family album. You know, my son was there with us. And, you know, I stopped by a picture of my family, you know, my mom. And he's like, oh, that's grandma. And it was just really weird because he pointed out to my mother. Mind you, he was 3 months old when she passed away, so I don't think he really remembers her. Saying, that's grandma. She's not happy. So, yeah, I was just a little weirded out. My wife is a little weirded out. I spoke to my family about it. She pointed her out in the picture saying, this is grandma, and she's not happy. That was the only time she visited him. I'm guessing it happened for like a few weeks. She's not happy. I tried to take it like maybe I should repair this family, which I've tried. Grandma's here, not happy. And, you know, I started telling him, you know, if she makes you uncomfortable, just tell her, go home. You know, you're not welcome. Just leave. And I think it stopped after a while. I didn't really hear anything much. My mother-in-law thinks that's her spirit trying to, from beyond the grave, trying to repair the family. But she's targeting my 3-year-old son as a messenger, I guess. Never been keen on supernatural, but this is kind of like freaking me out a little bit. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that story. It was just weird. All right. Awesome show. Thank you.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know why grandma's not happy, but if he can pick her out of a picture and he knows what to call her, then there's something at least portraying her.
Mm-hmm. I think the assumption is right that she's probably not happy. If she was kind of the glue that was holding the family together and things have kind of fallen apart, that's probably why she's not happy.
Yeah, but I don't know why she would convey that to a three-year-old. I don't think a three-year-old's going to understand that.
Yeah, I mean, well, probably not quite understand it, but can get the message conveyed and maybe convey it from someone who isn't already immersed in the politics of the family.
Sure.
It's like a fresh voice, and it's like, do it for the kid, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's her thought process of, all right, these people over here, they're going to be, you know, hopeless. They're kind of a lost cause. They're going to bicker together. But if they can take a look at their behavior and go, oh, well, maybe we should do it for the kids, and so they can have that and see a functioning family, maybe that will inspire them more than just me going to them saying, fix the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I was just trying to think of it more on a child's level. Why would she tell the child she's not happy? Because a child's going to think that she's not happy at them.
Yeah, but it's interesting that the kid didn't seem to take it that way.
Yeah, it's unusual.
Yeah, and maybe more was conveyed to the kid, but that's all that was conveyed, you know.
To the adults.
Yeah, when you play telephone with a kid, there's like one sentence that makes it down the line and the rest is just kind of lost in translation. And they may completely understand it and grasp it, but you may no longer understand the context of what was being said because only like this snippet is, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's, that may be kind of how it was conveyed. But there you go. Interesting stuff. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Katie again from New Mexico. I called a few days ago, but I just bought your book, Real Ghost Stories, and it's amazing. And it's got me thinking about alcohol and opening ourselves up. I personally just thought maybe it was an excuse for drunken behavior. But now that I'm thinking, maybe there might be some truth to it, and I just wanted to get your opinion. I lived in a haunted house with my friend, and soon after, a male friend joined us, and he moved into the, you know, available room that was for rent. They shared a bathroom. His door had a sliding door that led into the bathroom where a sink was, and then there was like another doorway for the toilet and sink. This ghost made a few noises with me and my roommate when we lived there by ourselves. But when my male roommate moved in, it seemed to get a little bit more spookier, and it seemed to not like him. I remember one day he called me and asked me when I was going to be home and that I needed to come home really quick, and he would tell me why. I came home and he wasn't there, so I called him and he said, I'll be on my way. Him and his girlfriend came and they were so freaked out, and he said the door, the sliding door to the bathroom, was jiggling forcefully and no one else was home. Then another night, I decided to have a few people over from work, and we were drinking. I don't think any of us were very intoxicated, maybe a light buzz. Me and my friend were downstairs watching movies while a bunch of guys were upstairs. All of a sudden, we heard yelling and screaming, and we run upstairs. My friends have my friend in a circle, and he looks panic. He looks scared, and he has a knife in his hand. And I have never seen this look on anybody before. And I've been in the industry for 10 years. And he goes after my friend with this pocket knife. And my friend runs into the bathroom and slams the door. And my roommate stabs the bathroom door. And then he runs back outside. He still looks very confused and panicked. And then all of a sudden, it's like this glaze just went over his eyes, and it was like he woke up from a nightmare, and he had no idea where he was. He had no idea what had happened. So that's my story, and I just wanted to hear your thoughts, if you thought maybe he was drinking too much, or maybe you thought the ghost had something to do with it. I love your show. Take care. Thanks.
That's a hard one, because that sounds kind of like something took over.
It does. I mean, it's not just like, oh, their personality got weird. It's like, what the fuck? Who are you?
Well, and the way he snapped out of it so quickly.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a drinking incident.
No, it doesn't at all.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, yeah. But I've never in my time heard of anybody just snapping out of being in a altering situation due to alcohol that quickly.
I mean, unless there's some sort of other underlying, you know, issue going on here with the individual that everyone else is unaware of. I mean, it almost sounds like kind of like a psychotic break of some sort. But it's, you know, I don't know. It seems like there's probably something else going on there.
Yeah.
Especially if there's no other like history or pattern of anything of that sort happening just then. Yeah. Weird.
Very concerning.
Yeah, very, very concerning. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi.
Hey, Tony. It's Kevin in Kentucky. I haven't called for a while. Enjoy the show. Continue to listen. But I had something funny, strange happen today. I took my son to work. Of course, we both work at the state penitentiary. And as I was coming back, I was trying to catch up on the podcast I listened to, which happened to be one of yours. It was, I think, the last episode that you guys had. And when I come in the house, I paused it, set it down on the coffee table, phone's fully charged, and 30, 40 minutes later, I'm cleaning up a room that my son and his girlfriend had moved out of. And all of a sudden, I start hearing something play. And I go up, come upstairs and get to looking. And it's my phone, which is sitting on a coffee table with nothing around, nobody around. And it all of a sudden unpauses itself and is playing your podcast. I can't figure out why it started when it had been paused for over 40 minutes. But anyway, I took it as something you want me to finish listening to the podcast and get you guys a call about it. Kind of strange. I kind of don't want to make of it. Anyway, enjoying the new Spirits on Spirits or with Spirits. I think Jenny had her fill Tuesday night. It sounded like she was she was right there ready to pass out. Anyway, you guys have a good weekend. Talk to you later.
Ready to pass out?
With all due respect, Kevin in Kentucky, you ain't seen nothing.
I don't think you've ever been anywhere near that on that program.
No, not at all.
Especially not remotely, no, ever.
Yeah. No.
No. Maybe you're just, I mean, there's been nights where you've been kind of tired doing the show, but...
There's been nights I've been tired. There's been nights I've been irritated by something else.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that will relax me to the point of maybe not being myself, so...
Sometimes you get possessed and start trying to stab me with a pocket knife.
No.
It's really odd.
But I've never been to where I felt like I was about to pass out.
No, I mean, that one time you fell over on your chair and started speaking in tongues.
No.
I'm kidding.
No. What do you think of Kevin's phone, though, starting up our show?
Ghosts like our show.
Do you think they do? Or do you think they laugh at us and say, these people don't know what they're talking about?
I think we're closer on some of the guesses as to what they're... purposes than others.
Maybe.
Just because of the sheer amount of stuff. I think sometimes we're like some of the thoughts that we've had about the paranormal stuff that I did not even think of starting this show, where one of them being, you know, the thought process constantly of, oh, help them find the light, help them pass over. But I think sometimes they're where they're at and they're where they want to be. Mm-hmm. And maybe they are passed over and they're screaming like, I am passed over. I'm over here now. There's nothing else to go to.
Yeah.
And this is it. You know, I'm happy. This is where I want to be. And, you know, like I was saying the other day, it's like, oh, let's turn on the big bright light and make mm-hmm. the humans happy. I think sometimes that's just what it is.
Sure.
But sometimes we have this assumption that, you know, everything must go the way we think it does. And I think they're a little bit more in tune because they're over there.
I don't know. I think I'd enjoy being a ghost for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd be in a hurry to move on and not be a ghost anymore.
Yeah.
Just because after doing this for so long, I'd want to figure it out completely. Mm-hmm. See if we were at all correct.
Yeah. And then I'd try and start calling into ghost shows as EVPs. Although with all the technology that exists, I think there's going to be a way in, I don't know how long, but I think there'll be a way to, I mean, there almost is with some of these spirit boxes, a way that people can communicate almost back and forth in conversation-like fashion. I think that's only going to improve.
I think if somebody ever gets you on a spirit box, all they're going to hear is you singing something out of tune and really bad. And they'll be like, yes, we know for sure that is Tony Bruschi.
It's like, boom, Celine Dion's playing all of a sudden. And yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what was, yeah, I think you're right. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Holden from Phoenix, Arizona. I just wanted to call in to tell you a couple of ghost stories of my dad's, his stepdad's. One of which I'll just get right into. They were moving, helping his uncle move a couple of his stuff out of his house as he was moving to a different home. Now, there was a phone that his uncle had where the wire was snipped, so you couldn't call or have any calls come in. All of a sudden, this phone just started ringing. He didn't give me any other details, so please tell me what you think about that. And the other one is, you know, my dad lived in Kentucky, so it's Confederate state. So they were driving by, and in this ditch on the side of the road, my dad sees this person lying on the ground, and then the person gets up and looks at him. And they're just driving by. He sees this. Later, he noticed that this apparition, or whatever it was wearing a Confederate uniform. Love the show. I've been listening for about a year now. You keep doing what you're doing. Bye.
I'm really interested. I don't know what it is with me and Civil War ghosts, but that's,
you were one. You were once in the Civil War.
That's like my favorite thing, and it doesn't matter what side. It's just Civil War related ghost stories. I love it.
Yeah,
it's just kind of weird that he would just be like laying down in the ditch and then suddenly get up. You know,
just doing his thing.
But you know, he's got to know he's not dead, that he can get up. He doesn't have to play dead. Maybe he was playing dead.
Maybe he can just take a nap anywhere he wants now, and it doesn't matter. It's like, I'm going to go sleep in the ditch. If I was living, it'd be a bad idea because there's animals and water and other things. But hey, I'm dead, so I'm just going to go sleep. Be an interesting place to sleep. You probably get to see a lot of interesting things.
And I don't want to miss over the possibility of that it's a reenactor of some sort just walking down the road that just fell and is getting back up. I mean, that's always a possibility, especially in the South. They really like their reenactments. But I don't know. It's just something that's always kind of fascinated me.
And you're involved in a lot of reenactments. You dress up as
not.
A soldier. And
I don't do any of that shit. Are you kidding?
I don't get it, but I get some people really enjoy that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I get it if it's like at a national battlefield where people go and they view this, but
like as an educational thing, like, yeah. Like, oh, the kids are coming, so we're going to. It's like a daily. It's just like being an actor in a play.
Yeah.
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 I get that. I don't get the.
I'm going to go fight a war from 150 years ago on the weekends.
And yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the what was the medieval thing where people get into that lot too. And again, I get people like it. I just don't get it. I'm not saying I'm against it or anything wrong with it. If that's your thing, cool. I don't get it.
I will say I've never tried it.
What is that called?
It's like Renaissance fair kind of stuff.
Yeah. There's like a name for the folks who dress up like that and then they get together and I don't know if it's just as big as it used to be. I remember like the early part of the 2000s, it was big. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things going on with it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of touch with people in general, which I am.
One of the weirdest things I ever did as a kid was my dad drug us out in the middle of nowhere, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to a mountain man rendezvous.
I've heard of that too. Is that?
And it's like they dress up as like early 1800s mountain men, hunters, whatever.
Sure.
And it's like a camp thing. And you walk around and people are basically pretending it's 1803. Yeah.
And don't they actually like they barter and trade for stuff
they
too with
do.
Those things?
They do. It was one of the weirdest things I ever did.
There's an element where I get like, okay, this is kind of showing what history was, what the past was. I don't know. I guess when I go beyond that, beyond like learning about it or like someone or seeing it like in a play or a movie or something, and then you start actually doing it.
Yeah.
That's where it's kind of like, this is odd. I mean, I get when you're like 10, you know, playing, but.
And when I went, I felt very out of place because this was not put on for spectators.
Sure. It's amongst themselves.
They were amongst themselves doing this thing. And our family was the weirdo family that showed up to watch these people do this.
Yeah.
So I felt like, I feel like I should be wearing like a dress made out of animal skins or something.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It's interesting. If anyone wants to enlighten me, I'd be fine. I'm not against it. I'm not slamming it. I'm just saying I don't get it. That's all. I don't know. Maybe in 10 years from now, I'll be like going to Renaissance festivals and mountain man gatherings,
rendezvous,
and Civil War reenactments. It's going to really suck when they all fall on the same weekend, though, because I'm going to end up wearing like the Civil War garb to like the mountain man and then the mountain man stuff to the
Renaissance.
I'm already confused as to what all these things I'm getting involved with. It's hypothetically.
Okay.
But
well, just keep wearing your shirts from middle school and you'll be safe.
I'm going to start that. I'm going to start a festival where people dress up like the 90s and you just pretend it's the 90s. And that's it. We go to like the Max and have cheese fries.
Okay.
And listen to Alanis Morissette. And that's the festival. That's it. It's cheese fries, a lot of polo, not polo, the, what was the shirts? Plaid shirts.
Rugby shirts.
Unbuttoned.
That was huge.
Yep. Over a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And semi-baggy jeans. And there you go. That's the festival. You sit there, eat cheese fries, and you listen to Alanis Morissette for a couple hours, and then you go home. And that's the festival.
All righty.
And you talk about the latest Adam Sandler movie. Like, wasn't that hilarious?
Right.
That's all it is. That's my get together.
You get me some, was it Surge?
Oh, they sell that again. Yeah.
Oh.
Get some Surge and
Nirvana, and I'll join you.
Yeah, that's there's the party. That's the get together. If you like the program, become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air. It's only $5 a month to be an EPP. That's all you got to do. That's it. Sign up for a full year if you want. Get a month free and a bunk bed, Bill, as a extra perk there. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.